It's 5:06, and you're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up later in the program, we'll talk about the security breach at Target stores that could have exposed up to 40 million credit and debit cards, and if it's possible to keep our information safe these days.
First, we continue our look back at the year that was 2013, and this time we're doing it through the lens of vocabulary.
Each year, new words come and go, in and out of fashion, and while only some of them stick around for the long haul, it's fun to look back and remember the words and phrases that helped define the past year. It gives us a fascinating look into our culture.
We're joined now by linguist Ben Zimmer. He's the executive producer of Vocabulary.com and the visual thesaurus and the language columnist for the Wall Street Journal. He also helps choose the American Dialect Society's Word of the Year. Ben, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So there were a lot of new words this year. They popped up. Some of them faded away. What do you think it takes to get a word to stick?
That's a good question. The vast majority of new words and phrases bubble up, and then they often just go away as quickly as they came on the scene. It's hard to predict which words will stick around. Sometimes a word might seem like it has staying power, and then we've already forgotten about it. It has to be a word that resonates with people. Very often it may be describing some sort of social phenomenon or something else that people really feel needs labeling. It helps often if it's playful or humorous. It has to also be applicable to a wide range of situations. If it's too limited in scope, then it may never really go anywhere in mainstream usage.
Well, here's a good example of some of the things I think you just said. Back in January, we were introduced to the term catfishing and not going out and fishing for the actual catfish. Tell us about that word and its rise and fall.
Sure. Well, it all goes back to a documentary that was called Catfish back in 2010. There was a married woman who was in her 40s. She pretended actually to be a young single woman, and the movie sort of gradually reveals this information. And the title of that documentary ended up turning into a verb to refer to impersonating someone online, usually in order to have some sort of romantic relationship and often as some sort of some hoax or scam. And we heard about catfishing in January because it was revealed that Manti Te'o, the football player then with Notre Dame, had been a victim of this scam and had a kind of a fake girlfriend situation on his hands. And so that story made the headlines quite a lot in January, introduced a lot of people to that term, catfishing. There's also an MTV reality series called Catfish that's still going on. But for most people, they might have been introduced to that very quickly and then forgot about it as the Manti Te'o story fell out of the headlines.
It just doesn't come up much in our daily lives. Hopefully.
Well, yes, unless you're a victim of catfishing yourself, then you would probably have the need to use that term. But otherwise, you might not really be coming across it too often.
Something that seems really big right now in terms of words is the portmanteau, kind of mashing two words together. Look at the movie title Sharknado, for instance, or adding apocalypse or some form of apocalypse, snowpocalypse or cicada apocalypse to things. Tell us about that phenomenon.
Right. Well, we love smashing words together. That's one of the most popular ways of forming new words. Sharknado is a great example of that. The title of a very cheesy movie on the Sci-Fi Network this year that was, like the title suggests, about a tornado full of sharks. And the reason that we like these words, I think, is because they're transparent. We can figure it out just from, I understand this is shark plus tornado. So, this involves a tornado full of sharks. It's right. It's obvious. When it works well like that, then it could really catch on. And I think that playful, funny title did quite a lot to help that movie become this kind of phenomenon online where everybody was tweeting about it when it came out. That use of NATO as just the part of tornado ended up getting used all over the place, kind of copying that. There was even this video that was put out by a conservative group against Obamacare, and it kind of copied the Sharknado movie, but it was called Obamacare NATO. So they're just attaching NATO to something else. And we've seen that a lot with Mageddon from Armageddon or Apocalypse from Apocalypse. People like finding these big calamitous terms and then grafting a part of that word onto something else to suggest, often in very hyperbolic terms, something that's happening in a very calamitous way.
You mentioned the phrase, when done well. How about when it's not done well? How bad can it be?
Well, I don't know. I think sometimes people just try too hard to form these things. And so, you know, if everything is some sort of Mageddon or apocalypse, then it might be like the boy who cried wolf. It's like, well, you know, this really isn't the end of the world. So why are we talking about it in such hyperbolic terms?
I got to say, I'm a little tired of adding celebrity names together, the Brangelinas of the world. I'm just I'm kind of done with that.
That's true, although that's an interesting phenomenon that was big about, 5 to 10 years ago, all the Brangelinas and the Tomcats and so forth. But that's an example of a linguistic trend that was very big for a while, but you don't really get that so often these days. Even we have celebrity couples, but we're not smashing their names together to form these hybrids as much as we used to in the Brangelina days.
Good.
We've mentioned a couple words that don't have constant utility, catfishing and thankfully Sharknado we don't run across. Are there some solid contenders for word of the year, things that got big in 2013 that you think might stick around?
Well, sure, there always are. And, you know, some of them have been recognized already by other outfits that do their own word of the year selection. For instance, Oxford Dictionaries selected selfie as word of the year. I think that's a solid choice. Everybody at this point is familiar with selfie as this slangy term for a self-portrait taken with a cell phone and usually posted on some social media site. And, you know, certainly that term has really took off in the past year or so. So much so that there are all sorts of spin-offs of the selfie. We were talking about how words get blended together into portmanteaus. Well, people are taking that word selfie and making their you know, variations on the theme so that if you want to have a group selfie, you could call that a grelfie. If you are showing off the contents of your bookshelf, you could call that a shelfie. And weather.com, I saw, is asking people to send in selfies in the snow, and they call those snowfies. So that's an indication of just how popular selfies have become and how much that word is already very much in the popular lexicon that people can create all these variations on it.
It seems, unfortunately, like one candidate for word of the year could be twerk. It seems like
twerk,
that one,
yes.
for one thing, there was the cultural act, you know, the Miley Cyrus thing that happened, and then it was everyone wondering what twerking was and all of the searches online, and it's I guess maybe that one's died down a little. Has that one gone away now?
I don't think it's completely gone away, but it certainly had a big peak in late August, and that's when Miley Cyrus notoriously twerked, or did at least her version of twerking, on MTV's Video Music Awards. And that got a huge amount of attention, and people started talking about the word and the phenomenon. And it turns out the word and the phenomenon are actually a lot older than you might think, that going back 20 years all the way back to the New Orleans bounce music scene around 1993, just around when Miley Cyrus was born. But people really found out about twerking, whether they wanted to or not, this year. Since then, it has definitely died down as a kind of a cultural phenomenon.
There was a bit of a twerk-nado. I'll credit that. Our board operator, Michelle Good, just typed that on the screen. It was too good to not share.
Or twerk-ageddon, if you prefer.
We're talking with linguist Ben Zimmer about the words that defined the past year, and we're taking your suggestions as well. What do you think the word of 2013 should be? Did you encounter any new words this year that you think should be up for consideration? Or maybe there was something that got popular this year that you're sick to death of. Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or send an email, talk@wpr.org. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. We're talking about the words of 2013. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. And what do you think should be crowned the word of the year? You can give us a call or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
Word expert Ben Zimmer is here with us. He's executive producer of Vocabulary.com. We'll get some more of his words in a bit, but let's go to your calls. We have Teresa in Chester, Iowa. Teresa, hi.
Hi. I have a question about culture-specific words. There's been words in my generation going around of bronies and pegasisters, and I was wondering if those kind of words are going to be eventually in the league of Trekkies from the 1960s and 70s.
So that's the brony from the supposedly men dudes who are into My Little Pony, as I understand it. Is that right, Teresa? Yeah. Ben, bronies, and I hadn't heard that, Pegasisters, before.
I guess, they needed a female equivalent of the brony. But, yeah, I mean, brony is a great word, yet another blend or portmanteau word. That first popped up on our radar a couple of years ago. It was actually in consideration when we were doing the 2011 Word of the Year selection. It didn't win, but in fact, I believe it won the least likely to succeed category. We have all these different categories, including most likely to succeed and least likely to succeed. And I think people thought that was so silly that there was this word, perhaps people who didn't fully appreciate the subculture of bronies. And so it won that rather ignominious title. But again, a word like brony or, you know, pegasister, I wasn't even aware of, can exist quite well. It can thrive within a particular subculture. It may get a little bit of attention like brony did in 2011, and then people say, aha, that's very funny. But it can continue, and if it's really something that people in that subculture want to use, and certainly ones that are tied to TV shows or science fiction franchises like Trekkie or Trekker for fans of Star Trek will last as long as there are fans of that show.
And Rob, you were a bit of a brony.
No. I'm not even convinced that they're really out there.
You're a brony denialist.
I still think it's a pop culture scam. It's a conspiracy, man.
All right. Well, let's talk about a word that you do like. Lean in is a sentimental favorite of yours. Right, Ben?
Yeah.
What do you
that's
like
right.
about that?
And even though that's two words, it's okay for word of the year consideration. We do consider phrases and, you know, prefixes, suffixes, as long as it's a vocabulary item that you could consider as like a dictionary entry. And so lean in would fit the bill there. And that hit it big this year because of a book by Sheryl Sandberg, the Facebook COO, who titled her book Lean In. And it was all about exhorting women to be more assertive in the workplace. And lean in previous to that had really been something used in sports, everything from skiing to sea kayaking, where leaning in was a suggestion of, you know, what you should do with your body. Then it becomes a kind of a physical metaphor for embracing risk, not shying away from any obstacles in your path. And so she seized on that term. And it's been interesting to see, just since the book was published in March, it's definitely worked its way into the popular lexicon. It's very closely connected with that idea of female empowerment, of what women are doing in the workplace, and you see it showing up in all sorts of different contexts. So that feels like one that will stick around, that we will sort of remember 2013 for.
I wanted to talk some about technology driving the new words, and I'm thinking here of the commercial with James Earl Jones, and I think it's Malcolm McDowell, where they're reading texting language, and you hear James Earl Jones' booming voice ending with, "Totes McGoats." Is that a sign that it's not hip anymore, and it may or may not last in the hip young texting subculture?
Yeah, that's a funny commercial, and they're taking these very important older actors and putting this frivolous young language into their mouths, and you get a lot of humor out of that. Does that mean that now that it's been recognized in that way, the young people won't want to use it anymore? I'm not sure about that, but I mean, because it is still done in this very self-conscious way. I don't think James Earl Jones, for instance, is really going around saying totes my goats like that. It's still
I'd like to think he is.
I would too.
That would be great, yeah. But, you know, I think that very often, I mean, we've seen this throughout many generations, the way people react to the language of young people and youth culture is often to make fun of it, to sort of treat it as very frivolous. And you know, this is just the latest example of that. I mean, you could go back to when Steve Allen when Bebopalula was a big song, doing a kind of a dramatic reading of it on his television show in a way, in a kind of a condescending way to talk about, you know, this silly language that the young people are using.
Can you talk a little bit about the way memes may drive new language? A couple of examples I can think of: Harlem Shake, and our producer Chris Molina knows about some crazy one about dogs called Doge or
Doge. Sure. Yeah, like Goggle Doge. I don't know how to say that one. Yeah.
What about memes?
Yes, well, that's a big way that that language spreads these days, through various kinds of internet memes. And again, some of these might not last very long. You mentioned Harlem Shake. That was huge at the beginning of the year, around February, I guess, where people were uploading these videos of themselves to a snippet of a song called Harlem Shake, in which they would, you know, be in some space, and then all of a sudden there's like a jump cut and they're dancing around like crazy people. And so that was a lot of fun, and people really got into it for a few weeks at least. But that quickly went away, very quickly, after about February or March, and people moved on to other things. You know, so usually these things don't last too long. You mentioned the meme Doge, how some people pronounce it, D-O-G-E, where it features pictures of these dogs, these cute, fluffy Shiba Inu dogs, with language that is not grammatical. It's in some ways it's similar to the lolcat phenomenon of having a picture of a cat with some superimposed text. And this is a new meme involving dogs, and people are enjoying it. Whether that has any lasting power beyond passing fancy this year, probably not. But I mean, again, it shows the way that people enjoy playing with language and coming up with new forms of it.
Go back to our callers now. We have Kevin in Decorah, Iowa. Kevin, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What did you want to bring up?
I just wanted to bring up the use of the word right as a question. I hear it all the time, especially on public radio, no offense, but
and
people will
me
be
in
telling
particular.
A story, right? Yeah, in particular, right? And I just think this year, I may have heard it the year before, but I wondered what the linguist thought about that.
Kevin, thanks. Ben, there's absolutely nothing wrong with doing that, right?
I won't say there's anything wrong with it. I think saying right is perfectly right. It's true that sometimes these forms of the language, in this case, right, is being used as what's called a tag question, which seeks agreement with your interlocutor, perhaps. There are all sorts of different forms of this. If you were British, you might say in it as a kind of a tag question. And sometimes they get popular, or they sort of spread to a larger population. That might be happening with the right tag question. A lot of times, though, we key in on something like that, and then all of a sudden we hear it everywhere. That doesn't necessarily mean that it's a recent phenomenon that everybody is doing all of a sudden. Sometimes it's just in our perception of it. We notice it, and then we start noticing it everywhere.
What about your top one or two choices for best or most influential words of 2013? Do you have a couple?
Well, we've talked about some of them already. I mentioned I like lean in. I think selfie is a good one as well. You know, one word that is not particularly new but is possibly being used in new ways is the word drone. And, you know, I've written about this for my Wall Street Journal column, for instance. Drone as a term for these unmanned aerial vehicles goes all the way back to the 1930s. But because of the Obama administration's program of covert drone strikes, We're getting drone being used in some interesting ways, like as a transitive verb. You could talk about getting droned, meaning to be the target of a drone strike. The fact that Amazon, according to its CEO, Jeff Bezos, is now planning these delivery drones that are going to bring products to our doorstep, I think that we'll be hearing a lot more about droning. And I even heard about drone jacking. That's like the hijacking of a drone, which is, I guess, something you would have to worry about if there are lots of drones flying around.
Thus triggering some kind of drone-ageddon.
Exactly. And another good one is Bitcoin, this virtual currency. It was actually introduced back in 2008, but we've been hearing about it quite a lot this year, even though, you know, it's been mired in controversy. There was that website Silk Road that the FBI had to shut down because it was this black market for all sorts of drugs and other bad things that was trading in Bitcoin. Although people still are, it's so new that people aren't even sure how to pluralize it.
Ben,
you say Bitcoin or Bitcoins.
Ben, we'll be watching for your word of the year. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Always a pleasure.
Ben Zimmer is the executive producer of Vocabulary.com, language columnist for The Wall Street Journal.
I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Ferret. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network.